The Spirit, the Spirit. We got the Spirit. Well, we talk like they didn't have the Spirit back then. They had the Spirit of God. They had it in a unique way. They were clothed in the very glory of God. It was like lightning on their bodies. Yet they were deceived. So folks who go around saying we don't need the Torah, we don't need that because we're led by the Spirit of God, they have already been deceived. They've already come under deception. We need to look at the Scripture in order to know what to do. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So we know what's spiritual and we're carnal. So he goes on and gives us some example. In Nehemiah chapter 9, let me give you some example here on what happened to the children of Israel. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. Now, even thou art Yahweh alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, and the earth and all the things that are therein, the sea, and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all. The host of heaven worship thee, talking about the angels. Thou art Yahweh, the Elohim, who didst choose Abram, talking about Abraham, and broughtest him forth out of Ur unto the Chaldeans, and gavest him the name Abraham. You did these things. In verse 8, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy word. Everything you said, you've done. They're recounting this. This is something that happened. They're recounting what happened. For thou art righteous, speaking of Yahweh, and didst see the afflictions of our fathers in Egypt, and the hardness heardest their cry by the Red Sea. Showest signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and upon all the servants and all the people of his land, for thou knewest that they dwelt proudly against them, so didst thou get thee a name as is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land. And their persecutors thou there wast to the deep as a stone unto the mighty waters. Moreover, thou ledest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down upon Mount Sinai, and speakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgment and true law, good stature and commandments, and madest known unto them the holy Sabbath, just them precepts, statutes, laws by the hand of Moses, thy servant. He gave us them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought us them forth water for them out of a rock for their thirst, and promised them that thou shouldest go to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not unto thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks. In their rebellion, appointest a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art Eloha, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf and said, this is thy mighty ones that brought thee up out of Egypt and had wrought great provocation, yet thou in thy manifold mercy forsook them not in the wilderness. And he had all grounds to do it, but he's so good, he didn't forsake them. In the wilderness, the pillar of cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou gave us also thy good spirit to instruct them. What did he give? Thy good spirit. Now understand that this was not an easy task for the children of Israel. You know, if he didn't take, Starbucks from them. You know, if we, if we get Starbucks taken from us or whatever else is our favorite, we get bent out of shape, you know. He took everything from them. It says in Deuteronomy 8, they didn't have food nor water. So I can test them to see if they trust me. Think if it ever come down to that. We talk about, you know, we don't want to get into how awful the children of Israel were and their complainings, but I know we none of us here like that. We don't want to complain about anything. But if you think about it, sometimes there's some stuff that doesn't go exactly the way we want it to go in our life. But he took everything from them. He brought them out of Egypt and stripped them of everything. They had no food, no water. Can you imagine that? If you got a family and you got children, you're going to get a little concerned when you have no food and water. We're not talking about luxuries here. He didn't take luxuries away from them. Everything was taken from them. He said, I've done that so I can see if they'll trust me. And when they needed food, he gave them food. When they needed meat, he gave them meat. When they needed water, he gave them water. Trust me. But a lot of them had a difficult time trusting. They raised up their own leader to bring them back where? To bondage. You're not going back and it's going to be great. He calls that bondage. So you can be in a state where you got everything you need, but that could be bondage to you. Because you have to analyze your life. What if everything was stripped from me? Will I still love him? Will it be as easy to still love the Lord if I go through some difficulty? This is what he's talking about here. But he tells them how to make it. How do you make it when you're going to get everything stripped from you? He said, thou gave us also thy good spirit to instruct them. Notice that the instruction is called the good spirit. What is that? Torah. I'm going to show you that we talk about two different things here. When Christians talk about God doesn't want us to be under the law. I think there's a big confusion and we have been seduced by the enemy to not understand what it really means. He said, thou gave thy good spirit to instruct them and withheld not thy manna from their mouth and gavest them water for their thirst. Think about that. The manna and the water, these all represent some very important issues. This is what sustains life. But before he did that, he gave what to give them comfort? Thy spirit to instruct them. Yea, 40 years thou sustained them in the wilderness so that they lack nothing. I mean, see that. 40 years in the wilderness, they lack nothing. That's a God that cares about you. Can you imagine God putting you and I in the wilderness for 40 years? We don't want to be in the wilderness for a day. We don't like wilderness experiences. We want it all nice, everything good. We want to be making money. We want to have good health. We want everything to be working for. He didn't take their 401k from them. He took everything. They had no food, no water. But God says, I'll be your God, you'll be my people. And I'll tend to your needs, everything you need, I'm attend to it, and everything's going to be fine. For 40 years, he sustained them. I mean, thank God for that. He sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old. How many see that? And their feet did not swell. Yeah, it don't mean nothing to anybody here, but let me tell you, to them it meant a lot. Their feet swelled not. 40 years wandering, walking, and from place to place in the wilderness, and they were fine. We serve a good God. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 26, skip down. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee. Imagine that. They took care of them for 40 years. They didn't have nothing to want for. Their clothes didn't wax old. Can you imagine buying a single suit of clothes and it not wax old for 40 years? Think about that. Feet didn't swell. But nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast the... Why did they rebel? And cast thy law behind their backs. They cast the law behind their backs. We need Torah. We need to know because it's spiritual. It's what guides us. We're not under it because we didn't break it. Remember, the curse comes after you. After your speed is when the law applies to you. If you're not speeding, you have no worries. How many understand that? And slew thy prophets, which testified against them, and turned them to thee, and they wrought great provocation. Therefore, thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies, who vexed them. And in time, and in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercy, and gave them saviors. How many thank God that he gives saviors? Who saved them out of the hand of their enemy. Imagine that. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. So they would cry out to the Lord. He would do what? Deliver them. He would send saviors. People would rise up and their enemies would be defeated. This is after they rebelled. And he would save them again. After they were out of the fire, they would do it again. Do it again. Therefore, leftest thou them in the hand of their enemy, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and many times didst thou deliver them according to whose mercy? Your mercy, Lord. How many thank God for his mercy? How many times we needed mercy? We used it. We used up mercy. So we're not in no different boat here. They did the same thing. We read it and we say, man, I can't understand why they would keep doing that. Same ways and we do it. How many times I called on the mercy card? Mercy, mercy, mercy. Thank God he's so good to us. Amen? Verse 29. And testified against them, now watch this, that thou mightest bring them again to where? Thy law. You can't get away from it. I'm going to bring you back. Why you can't get away from the law? It's spiritual. It's holy. It's good. I read it to you in Romans 7. It's righteous. You got to get back to it. Yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live by them. What does that statement mean? Remember, we was going through that. It means whatever you sow, you're going to reap. The eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. That's sowing and reaping. Remember that. That was so misunderstood by the church world today. What does it mean? If a man does them, he shall live by them. So if you're living against Torah, you're gonna reap what it produces. What happens if you speed? What happens if you get stopped? It produces what? A ticket. That's what happens. It produces a ticket. You got to pay for it. There was a consequence for it. If you stay within the perimeters of the confines of the law, do you pay a ticket? No. It don't even apply to you. Because you're within that framework. Does that make sense to you? So if you commit murder, there's a consequence. If you commit adultery, there's a consequence. If you steal, there's consequences to those things. But if you do none of the above, are you subject or bound by the law? No. You're not under that. Because you stay within the confines of what God said, thou shalt not. Very simple. But to throw it all away makes no sense at all because, oh, I don't need that law. I live by the Spirit. Okay? How do you know if it's the Spirit of God? Well, I felt it. You know how many people, I seen people feeling something, but it wasn't the Spirit of God. Anytime you walk across the stage with a dog leash around your neck barking like a dog, in the middle of church service, you done got a hold of a different spirit. I'd show you these videos, but they're so bizarre, it's almost comical. If Pastor Charlotte comes in here with me on a leash, y'all run and never look back. I mean, run as fast as you can. Don't ever look back. But you don't want that. I can tell you that. Here, boy. That'd be crazy. Yet people's doing it, and they call into the Spirit of God. There ain't no Spirit of God. There's no Spirit of God. That's why you have to have, there has to be something written. There has to be a standard. And the Torah is the standard. And then the move of when the day of Pentecost was fully come, listen, you think I love the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I love it. But I have a standard to give me identification to know when I'm in it and when I'm not in it. And the church has definitely got out of it over the years. There's no doubt about it. It withdrew the... So if a man does them, he shall live by them. That's sowing and reaping. If you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you reap corruption. If you break the law, you're going to pay the consequence. Simple. Simple, simple. And withdrew the shoulder and hardened their necks and would not hear. They would not hear, getting back to the Torah. Yet many years didst thou forbear them. Notice that. How merciful God is. Many years thou forbear them. And, here you go, testified against them by thy spirit in thy prophets. Testified against them. How did he do it? By his spirit with the help of the prophets. Very important. Yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest them, thou them into the hands of the people of the land. And God had no choice but to turn them over. And that's very sad that happens, and it happens still today. It's no different today. There's been a large portion of the church world that's been handed over. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, read Matthew 7, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. So there's going to be a lot of people who go to church every single day in the name of Jesus, and they'll never make it. Our job here is to make sure that you and I are one of them. So we can't kid ourselves that we can just go to church or join and be a part of a church and be a part of some religion. He said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, that calls me master, that says I'm their master, they identify with me as their master, they say I'm their master. Not every one of them is going to make it. That's a scary thought, to know that our Messiah would give that warning. He would say, be careful. A lot of people is going to call me master. A lot of people say I'm their guy. But I'm going to tell them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I know you not. Why is he going to say that? Because they leave the Torah. That's why. The very thing that God set up, he instituted, they leave it and they live under, they say, oh, we by the Spirit. We don't need the law, we just by the Spirit. There's a danger in that because you don't know the difference when the enemy comes and he twists it just a little bit. And I'm going to share some more with that in just a little bit. Look at Psalms 119. Very important. Longest chapter in the Bible. Psalms 119. I'll give you a few verses there. It's incredible. Every now and then you got to go read 119. Psalms 119, as you're looking for something to read, you go read it every now and then. Verse number 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of Yahweh. He just tells you, you're going to be blessed. You walk in the law of Yahweh. Verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Notice that. I want to go in your commandments. For therein do I delight. I delight in it. Verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimony, unto your commandments. I thought about it. You know what? I turned my feet. How many can remember this happening in your life? I started thinking about it, and after all I thought about it, I said, you know what? I got to be crazy not to want to follow the commandments of God or the testimony of God. Who do I think I am? I'm going to make up my own religion? I'm going to get myself in trouble. And so notice these are very important verses here that will help you. Psalms 85, verse 13. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. What does he do? Sets us in the way of his steps. How many of you know it's important to watch where you go so those who are following you don't go in the same path? Whose steps are you following in? Very important. You know, when we were younger, the people used to trap. They used to go trap nutrias and rats and coon and all that. Well, you get in the marsh, and my dad, he would be going ahead, and I'd be behind him. And he'd say, step where I step. Well, you know, boys want to venture off. And how many know when the boy ventures off, it's almost going to happen? What happens, Brother Freddie, when you're in the marsh, and he says, step where I step, and you venture off? What happens? You sink. It's inevitable you sink. Well, how many of you know God says, step where I step? I'm going to show you how to walk this thing out. That's what Christ was sent for. Christ was, he came to say, you follow me. Follow me. What he told his disciples, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. They left their net. They followed him. Step where I step. When I step, you step there. If we got more people doing this in church, they're going to be a whole lot better. But here's what we do. We get our eyes on somebody else. We want to look at the rich and the famous. We want to look at those who are doing better. And we want to wander off and step like they step. Well, you're going to reap the consequence that they're going to reap. And over here, walking with Jesus might seem a little bit slow sometimes. It's not cool to walk with Jesus. Nobody want to walk with Jesus. Well, guess what? Go on and walk with those who are cool, and you'll find out that it won't be long. They won't be so cool. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. I want to walk where he, when he says, walk where I walk, I want to be careful to watch his feet and watch where he steps and do what he does. How many ready to do that? Very important. Thank you, Father. Romans 8. Let's look at Romans 8 no, in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Messiah Yeshua. How many see that? Now, you notice I have some lines across this next phrase. Because that phrase says, who walk not after the spirit, flesh, but after the spirit. How many see I got a line through it? That's because it's not in the original. In the original text, it's not there. It's going to come. It's going to come, but what most scholars believe and most translations leave this out because that was an afterthought. So it's not that we won't deal with that statement. We're going to deal with it when it comes into play. So I left it just like this. Therefore, there is now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Messiah Yeshua. For the law of the spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua had made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm free from that. Notice that, because of what he did. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Notice that. Its weakness is through the flesh. If you're in the flesh, the law can't do anything for you because you're bound by it. It can't save you. It can't do anything. You're bound by it. Yahweh, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So he's showing that what we could not do, he's going to get it done for us. That's why we've got to follow his steps. Verse number 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. What is going to be fulfilled in us? The righteousness of the law. Notice that. Are we eliminating Torah here? No, he said there's the righteous part that don't apply to you. How is it righteous? Because you're doing 55. That's what the speed limit says. So it doesn't apply to you. It said the law says if you exceed this, if you exceed this limit, you know they got what they call they give me. Anybody ever heard that? They give you 5 miles an hour. They ain't giving you anything. They just, if they really get down to it, they're going to stop you for 1 mile over because you broke it. That depends who wants to be nice that day. Well, we get used to the give me, right? And then it's assumed everybody can go. Everybody's doing it. Everybody. We drag that same mentality into the church. You get one group doing a little something, and you say, well, you know, it's just kind of a give me. It's okay. Everybody understands that. God doesn't. He doesn't understand why we want to break the Torah. So I'm using the speed limit just kind of as an example. The law says if you exceed 55, you're in trouble. It don't say nothing about, well, there's a little thing at the bottom, but they can give you 5 miles an hour over. It don't state that. It's something that everybody kind of knows and takes advantage of, because if you get 5, how many know you want 10? How many, I'm serious, how many know that's what you want? And you want that. But the whole time that you're doing that, you already know that you're outside the parameter. That's been stated by whatever law it is. The law court said that that's what it is. Well, when you come to the Word of God, God don't, you know, we assume, well, because he's been merciful and accepted me back, and he's been merciful again, accept me back. You think it's the same principle applies. It doesn't apply that away. It doesn't apply that away at all. So be careful that we don't drag into reading the scripture as we live every day of our life, because it doesn't work that way. If God said, thou shalt not, he means that. He really does. There's no, I'll give you this. He means that. For what the law could not do in that it was weak in the flesh, Yahweh sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. He wants the righteousness of the law because the law is righteous, it's holy, it's good. Romans 7 tells us that. Now watch what he said. Who walk not after the flesh. Remember that part we left out? There it is. That's an original. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the first time it's mentioned. Because if we get it too early, we won't see the context in which he's delivering it. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you walk after the flesh, you're going to get in trouble. But if you walk according to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. This is very important. So we have to learn how to walk it out. Saul, he didn't learn this. He had manifestation of the Spirit. He prophesied. He spoke in tongues. This is all great. You know, if somebody says, how do you know you're being led by the Spirit? People say, well, I speak in tongues. Well, that's great. That's a manifestation. How do you know you're walking in the Spirit? Is this how do you love your neighbor? You can speak in tongues but hate your neighbor. That's a problem with God. See, I'm preaching now. We don't mind talking about speaking in tongues and having the Spirit on us. We love those kind of services. Kim mentioned earlier, she said, I ain't ever been in one of them services. I said, you haven't. The Spirit of God is moving right now. Because it's the truth. It's the truth. And what I'm saying is the truth. Manifestation can trick a lot of people. See, you can speak in tongues, but not keep the Torah. That's called manifestation of the Spirit, but you don't know how to walk it out. Walking it out saying you're not going to get involved in certain things. You're just not going to do it. When somebody says something, you don't comment. Wow. I better read Matthew 7 here for you. Many will say in that day, Master, Master. Many. Matthew 7:22. Many will say in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, or those who practice lawlessness. That's what iniquity. Working iniquity means those who practice lawlessness. Those who say, I don't need Torah. I don't need the law. It doesn't help me. It does help. It does help. I'm so thankful for the grace of God that gives the power of the Spirit, because it helps me understand what I need to do to make sure I'm staying within the confines of the law. Very important. Valuable that we listen to that. In 1 John chapter number 1, verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Notice that. Verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you the eternal life. That eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. That's koinonia right there, that word koinonia. And truly our koinonia, our fellowship, is with the Father and with his Son, Yeshua Messiah. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that Elohim is light. Elohim is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Notice that. In Elohim, there's no darkness at all. So one of the things that we have to remember, when we're in the flesh, he's not with us. I don't think anybody got that. Because if he's with us, then it means there's darkness in him. He's just letting us know that there's times that we could step out of being in relationship or koinonia with him. You don't want that. Because that's when you become vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy and the lies and deceptions. You step out of koinonia. You step out of that fellowship. The moment you do that, he's out. Let me tell you, you're not going to drag God into your flesh appetites. You're not going to do it. So I want you to understand what happens when we give in to the flesh. What really happens is we start to, you know, we read that comment to you how the Christian church today says the best thing that the church can do is unhitch from the law. What happens when you operate in the flesh, you unhitch from Yahweh himself. You're saying, hold up a second, you stay right here. Let me take care of this business. The business turns bad or goes sour, you want him back, but he ain't in it. He's not in it. If you go that route, you're on your own. And I want you to understand, this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that Elohim is light. He's glory. It's glory. And in him is no darkness at all. At all. If we say we have fellowship with him, koinonia, communion, and walk in darkness in the flesh, you can't walk in darkness by the Spirit. It's impossible. If you walk in darkness, meaning in the flesh, we lie and do not the truth. And that's what happens to our life many times. But watch what he says, verse 7. But if we walk in light, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have koinonia with one another. Isn't that amazing? He says, we have koinonia with one another, and the blood of Yeshua Messiah, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's an amazing thing that happens. So here's what he wants us to know. If we walk in the light, as he's in the light, if we want to stay in his glory, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua Messiah, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It prevents us. It stops us from sinning. That's what the Torah set up for. It's to stop us from sinning. We don't want to continue to do that. If you're sinning and you have no problem with it, your heart is so far from God, it's scary to be in that position. If you sin and all of a sudden you feel really upset about it, really upset, God's got some help for you, because if you're upset about doing wrong, you're at least on the right path to want to do right. It's when sin doesn't upset you, that's a dangerous spot to be in. You're okay with it. As a matter of fact, you can live in it. You go to bed in it. You wake up in it. You spend weeks in it. You're okay with it. That's a terrible spot to be in. Anybody ever remember being there? You're just fine with it. But when it starts bothering you, and that's what we've been praying on Thursday night. We had a powerful prayer meeting. We're praying for the life of people. People that don't know how to pray for themselves. They don't know how to call upon Yahweh for their own self. We get on our knees and we call out and say, God, we pray for their very life. We pray that they're stripped away from pharmakeia, that it has no part in their life anymore. That's what we're talking about. And this is what we see here. But if we walk in the light, we walk in the light. He is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. In 1 John chapter number 2, verse 3, it says, and hereby we know that we know him. So he gives us these indications here. If we keep his what? Commandments. You know, if you know him, you keep his what? Commandments. This is what everybody wants to, you know. Sometimes, I remember years ago when we first started this church, people would ask questions about, well, how do you know you're saved? And people would give various answers. Well, and we really didn't know. People didn't know. Here's a good answer. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. You can say, well, how do you know who's going to make it? The ones who keep his commandments. Not people who say, master, master. They don't mind singing to the master, loving on the master. They don't mind doing that. You can have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. A form of godliness doesn't help you at all. It doesn't help you one bit. A form of godliness, but no power. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter in. That's what he's saying. He said, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he said, I know him and keep. He that said, I know him and keep not his commandments is a what? I figured I'd highlight that so we just remember it. He doesn't come out and say, well, he's just misinformed. He's not misinformed. He's a liar. Because I don't have to break down the Greek and do the hermeneutic study on this for you to understand that verse right there. It's simple terms. It's simple, simple terms. If you speed, you get a ticket, and if you don't, you don't. There's no five, I don't even know what they call that. Is there a term they use for that? 5 miles over? Because it's an assumption. You assume it, right? And it's fine. People do it every day, and I just passed the cop doing 5 miles and over, and he waved at me. It's cool as could be. I mean, you got laws, and they don't mean anything. And this is what we do. We carry that in the church. I just passed God committing adultery, and he went, how you doing there? You're never going to find God do that. Do you understand that? Well, we think he does because he's going to have mercy. You got to understand, he only has mercy on whom who have mercy. He gives grace, but he's saying you got to get back to the Torah. You got to get back to understanding how you can't do these things. We got to understand. Now, I hope that nobody feels heavily convicted when we talk using this speed thing as an example. I'm just using that as examples. Okay, I'm not preaching on speeding. I got more to preach on than talking about that. That's my example. But some of you might be getting a little tight in the seat. But that ain't got nothing to do with me. All right. Romans 8. Let's go to Romans 8. Let's get back to it. Romans 8, 5. For they that are after the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh. That's what you do. If you're after the flesh, you mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What are we trying to do? We're going to walk in the Spirit. If you're after the flesh, you mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. If you're fleshly minded, it's death. That's what it brings. It produces death. It's just death, death, death. It's good. You're having a good time right now. Everybody's having a great time. Everybody's enjoying themselves. You know, this don't mean anything to a lot of people when I read this, but it means a lot to a mama and a father whose young man goes out and they're going after the flesh. They'll be carnally minded. They're going to go and they're going to party. They're going to have a good time. And on their way back home, they get in an accident and kill themselves. And then what you do? Well, you're trying to find some soothing words, some encouraging things, because, man, it's a tragedy. Well, to the devil, it ain't a tragedy. It's a victory. It's a tragedy to us, and we trying to smooth that thing over and just say the right words whenever it comes down to it. But to the enemy, it's a victory. I'm trying to help you today not give him any victories. The scripture says, if for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, to them the flesh is number one. It's the one thing they're going to please today, if they're going to please anything, is their flesh. That's what they focus on. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, if you're spiritually minded, the one thing that means more to you than anything is you're going to make sure that the Spirit is uplifted today. And that can be done in various ways. It could be because you got up in the morning, you said, good morning. Thank you, Father. I love you. I appreciate you. I thank you for having a good day today. I thank you that you're my God and there's none like you. I just want to honor you today. Or you grab your Bible and you read a few verses. Go to 119 and read 119 before you get going. And then when church time comes, you make sure that you're doing everything you possibly can. You want to be in prayer. If you're minded things of the Spirit, you know where you want to be? In prayer. You don't want to not go. You want to be in prayer. You want to go to church service, and wherever there may be one, you want to be there. Because you're minding the things of the Spirit. That's very important. You think the flesh wants to be here? Flesh don't want to get up early. Flesh don't, this day off. It's my day off. I'm going to relax. I don't want to do, flesh doesn't want to do anything. But you doing it because it's important for your life. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So he just tells us what's going to happen. It may not happen just yet, but eventually you're going to run into what it means to be carnally minded. You run into it, and it's a devastation. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen? The carnal mind is enmity against Elohim, for it is not subject to the law of Elohim, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. Can you please him in the flesh? You cannot. It tells you you can't do it. Well, you know, I just have these moments. Well, you can have a moment. There's nothing wrong with a moment. You have one, but you can't stay there. If it becomes habitual where you constantly have to do this one thing to appease the flesh, that's not a moment anymore. That's a true indication that you're bound by that and you can break yourself free from that. That's how addictions get broken away, and God will help you. I'm going to deal with that in just a little bit. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Elohim dwell in you. There's that indwelling. That's Acts 2. That's Mount Sinai experience. The Word came. And it was in such a way, when God spoke, it was in colors, the vibrations, everything. There was not a single part of every fiber of their being that didn't know it was Elohim giving his word out to them called the Torah. That's Mount Sinai experience. That's Shavuot. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the place. It was like cloven tongues of fire that sat on each of them. That was that same experience. There was no mistake about it. They knew that they had an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Every fiber of their being reacted to it. They knew something had happened. So he said, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Messiah, notice that, they're used interchangeable. Spirit of Messiah and the Spirit of Elohim are used interchangeable. He is none of his. And if Messiah be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I mean, you see that. So all of these things, he's telling us, you have to be a person who knows how to walk according to the Spirit. Have that operating in your life. It's valuable. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Messiah from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. You owe it not. You don't owe a debt to the flesh to live after the flesh. And here's the key verse. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Now that death he's talking about there is the death that don't come back. That don't come back. There's going to be a second resurrection when you rise. It's only to be punished forever. There's no return from that. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So there's something, walking in the Spirit, there's something you have to do. There's indications. What do? You mortify the deeds of the flesh. You mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, they are the sons of Elohim. This verse has now become as clear as can be when you make a reference on how to walk in the Spirit. How to do those things. You look at what the commandments of God are, how he wants us to live our lives, and we live according to that. Who here believes that it's okay? So if we just commit fornication or adultery, or we steal, or we choose not to honor our father and mother. Well, we know those things are stuff that we should keep. They're the commandments of God. So we said, well, we believe that you shouldn't do those things. Yet when we go back to the New Testament, we say, well, we're not under the commandments of God. We either under them or we're not. Which one is it? So we have to make sure that we're clear in this term. So I wanted to point that out to you. Verse 16 of Galatians 5 again. Let's go back to the text. Here it is. For this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For The flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. So I want to tell you, whoever said you're not at war, they misinformed you. You're at war. When you become a Christian, when you give your life over to the Lord Jesus and you say, I want to serve Him, I want to live for Him, I want to tell you, you're at war. There's a war going on. And that's why he says, he tells us, he says, for the weapons of our warfare. When he brings out the weapons of our warfare, because he wants you to know, this, it is a war. It's going on. And he talks about being a good soldier. A good soldier. And he says, and he talks about those who compete in the games, because we were under Roman rule. When Paul wrote this, it was under Roman rule, so they had competitive games. This was not games of fun. This was games of life. The gladiators, all this stuff that went on, this was people's life. They would put them in these big coliseums, and they would fight for their life. And you know what he says? He says, when you compete in the games, you got to compete under the rules. He uses these examples. When you compete in being a Christian, are there rules? Yes, there's rules called the law, the Torah. There's rules. You got to stay within the confines of that, or not you can't win the prize. You can't win the prize. Because you went out of the rules. If you're playing in sports and you break the rules, you know, if the guy decides, you know what, I don't care that they said that's my goal. I think my goal's over here. And he takes off with the ball and goes the other way. And he gets in the end zone, he raised both hands, and he's the touchdown, touchdown. And the people's just standing there going, what did he do? You think he's going to win the prize? He's going to be the laughing stock of the whole industry. They're going to say, this guy lost his mind. Well, in my mind, I changed the rules. I scored for the other team. You scored? You can't do that. He says, Paul says, if you compete in the games, you got to do it within the confines of the rules, or you can't receive the prize. That's simple terms. So we have to make sure that we're doing the same thing. Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's look at this. Verse 11. But thou, O man of Elohim, flee these things and follow after righteousness, holiness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Then he goes on to say, fight the good fight of faith. Any person that told you wasn't at war, they're misleading you. It's a war. It's serious business. Because the war is the flesh lust against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. That's the war. The first battle you got to fight is not some adversary out there. It's not some group of people that's out to get you. It's not their group against your group. The first enemy that you're going to have to put under subjection is your flesh. If you can't learn to do that, you'll never survive in the real world of what Satan has going to bring against you. You're not going to make it. You know what Eve said? When she saw that the fruit was good for food and a tree to be desired, she took it. Flesh. When she saw that it was good for food and a tree to be desired, she took it. Flesh. She lost the battle with her flesh. And she paid the consequence, and it was handed off to the world. Are you paying the consequence for being obedient to your flesh? We can kid ourselves and say, well, it ain't real. It's real. Believe me, it's real. Every day it's real. Your flesh it wants what it wants. You don't want to give up nothing. But you bring it under subjection. You say, we're not doing that. We're not going to do that. So is it a change of life? Of course it is. If you were living in the world, you can't continue to live in the world and do the things you used to do in the world. When you become a Christian, it makes no sense at all. It's just it's contrary. There's a change that happens. You don't do. How many figured that out pretty much on your own? It was kind of a give me. There were some things you used to do you can't do once you come to serve God. Now, we got to fine-tune that as we get going. As we're serving God, we start fine-tuning that. On our day-to-day exercise and our day-to-day living, we start finding out that this is what's hindering me, and God don't want me to do that no more, so I'm going to quit that. And we keep doing that. These are important principles that we all learn that. But it's a war. This is serious business. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold and do what? What helps? Lay hold on eternal life. Grab eternal life with both hands and don't let go and give up for nothing and for no reason. Who in here has laid hold of eternal life? Who in here has grabbed on eternal life and said, I'm not giving up for nothing? There's nothing that's going to make me give up this eternal life. It means that much to me. That's what he says. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. If you're going to stand in the faith, stand with everything that's in you. Don't quit and don't give up. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. This is what he says, sharing his heart. Now watch what he said. I have fought a good fight. Notice that. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So you got to, this is something, this never goes away. You don't get saved and now you're saved. Then what? You got to fight the good fight of faith. If Paul talks about it, this is a fight. We're at war here. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So he's talking about the reward that comes with doing what? Giving into your flesh? Doing what the flesh wants? It's okay. God's going to just smile at me. God loves me. He don't matter what I do. He's going to smile at me. No, he's talking about this reward because he done what? He fought a good fight of faith and he done what? Kept the faith. He kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the master, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. At that day. And not to me only, but all them that love his appearing. All them. That means you and I. Everybody that from that moment, all of us that love his appearing. When you can't wait to see him. If you can't wait to see him, you're probably living by the Spirit. If you say, well, I don't want him to come back just yet, you could maybe have a little flesh issues there where you're living by the flesh and you don't want him to come while you're doing that. That's up to you. It's totally up to you. We don't know exactly when he's coming back, but we know he's coming back. And when he does, we ought to be fighting the good fight of faith, and we ought to be keeping the faith. Very important. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Messiah Yeshua, in the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's a very important principle. Thou therefore endure hardness. How? As a good soldier of Yeshua Messiah. Who wants to be in the fight in this army and know that Yeshua Messiah, he's the captain? Who don't mind going to war and Messiah Yeshua is the captain? After all, we got to follow in his footsteps. Remember that. Somebody said, I'm following the footsteps of Yahweh. Well, you're getting it a little wrong here. You're getting ahead of yourself. You follow in the footsteps of Yeshua Messiah, who's leading you to Yahweh. Remember that. He's the one that gets you to know who the Father is, because nobody knows the Father better than the Son. You got to follow in Yeshua's footsteps. He leads you to the Father. Some people want to go to Yahweh a different way. Some talk and teach there many ways. And that's on national television. They teach many ways. And it's sad that happens. There's not many ways. There's only one way. And Yeshua said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way. He's the only way to the Father. There's no other ways. The only way to the Father. Yet we have Christian churches today and pastors and ministers of these large churches that get on TV and they'll say, well, you know, it's not me to judge. There's so many different ways to God. Really? Are we hard-headed? Are we just not paying attention? Because that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says there's one way. And Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man go to the Father but by me. That's clear terms to me. You can't confuse that. You don't need to do a word study on that. By me means by me. And that's what Yeshua said, I am the way. And that's very clear. And I don't understand why. I don't know if it's trying to be politically correct in their religious theologies and trying to fit with everybody and don't want to leave nobody out, this inclusion type mentality that we want to make sure everybody gets a chance to be saved. Well, listen, I'm all for everybody being saved. But we can't change what God said so everybody can get it. Well, I don't like that part of God. Well, okay, we're so sorry we offended you. We're going to rip that part out for you. Is that what we do? And that's what the church is standing up for now. Well, that part of God's offensive. He offended me. We're so sorry. We're going to take the offensive part out. We will never preach the offensive part. The God of the Old Testament is cruel. Oh, well, we won't talk about the cruelness of the God of the Old Testament. He's vile. And these are statements that I could play video of people commenting. Millions of people are watching this stuff. You ever notice that the only time God is vile or hate, you know, people call hatred, is if you get out that 55 part. He gave me a ticket. Can you believe that? Well, you're going to get one if you're going over. That's what it is. That's what we're trying to tell you. You can't go outside the parameters of God's Torah. Is this helping anybody? Well, I hope it is. No man, notice this, no man that warreth, that's in war, entangles himself with the affairs of this life. There's so much going on with entertainment that we can get so sidetracked with the affairs of this life. And listen, there's nothing wrong with entertainment, but you get entangled with it. Notice the word, entangled. Entangled means you're willing to give up what's important to God in order to do what the entertainment says you need to do. That's how you draw the line. You say, when do I know when it's too much? There it is. When that overly consumes you, when you're entangled in it, you get so wrapped up in it, whatever it is. It could be sport. It could be going on vacations. It could be whatever it is. It's no set thing. But that, when that entangles you and you can't focus on the day-to-day events on serving God, that's a little much. Be careful. Could be making money. Could just be making money. Don't be entangled. He said, if you're in war, if the man's in war, he don't entangle himself with the affairs of this life so that he may please him who had chosen him to be a what? A soldier. Who wants to be a soldier in the army of God? Who wants to know that your general, your captain is Yeshua Messiah, and when he gives you an assignment, you're going to do that assignment. Stand at attention, ready to do what he wants. If a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive what? Lawfully. Oh boy. See, that's a highlight part right there. Highlight part because you're going for the masteries, but you can't receive unless you strive lawfully within the confines of the law. If I give you an example, I say, Tyreek, you're going to get $1,000. You're going to leave from Burris, and you're going to drive the speed limit all the way to Bell Chase. You get $1,000. Think about that. So he heads on out, and he gets on, and he says, I got to set the speed limit. 55, and he's going. Man, it's slow. It's always slow, ain't it? Slow, it's slow. Well, it won't hurt if I just ease it up just a little bit. Eases it up. 56. Now nobody know. Then he hits the 65. He said, oh, I'm finally here. It took so long. It took me 20 minutes to get through this. Now I'm at 65. Boy, here he goes. And it's not, it's just slow. It's amazing how you go from 55 being slow and you hit 65. It ain't enough. His flesh wants it. I just want 1 mile an hour over. So he hits it 66. They'll never know. So he gets the bell chase and he hits that 45 and he goes, oh my God. We're never getting there. Think about it. And he just, let me just shove it just a little bit. 46. So he rides and he gets out and he says, I did it. I did it. I did it. I said, you did. Well, let's check the box. We had the GPS recorder on the car. And we're going to check it and see what you did. Oh, boy. There goes the prize. But it wasn't much, Lord. It wasn't much. It wasn't much at all. I won the prize. I just eased over. Yet he is not crowned except he strived lawfully. Think about that. Just for a little, because that's what the flesh wants. It wants to know that it's getting away with something. It loves it. It can't help itself. It wants to know that it can get by with just a little. But to please God, to make God happy, you say, I'm going to live my life in the confines of the Torah, the law of God. And I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God. And those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not everyone, Matthew 7, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, Master, Master, shall enter in. That's a sad thing. Sad. Galatians 5:18. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Here we go. This is where I got to explain it all over again. Because it makes this statement. But if ye be led by the Spirit, notice that. If ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What does that mean to be under the law? What does it mean? It means that you're not bound by the law's dictate because it's been broken. If you're led by the Spirit, the law can't do anything to you. If you do 55, you're never going to get the ticket. If you stay within the confines and don't go one over, you get the $1,000 when you get the bell chase. It's just the way it is. So we got a recorder on our lives. Think about it. And we struggle with this every day. We all struggle with this. He's got the recorder on our lives. When we get in the flesh, it's being recorded. Until we do something about that, we're in trouble. We can be, don't kid yourself. We don't want anybody here to kid yourself. When you get there, when you arrive, don't expect to get the crown because you did 99%. I did everything right 99% of the time. But I just missed it on this. Think about it. You missed it not because you were tempted to do it. You missed it because you willfully said, I'm going to just ease up a little bit. And he's going to record it all. So what do we want? We want God help us in this. Help us that we walk after the Spirit and we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. Verse 19. I'm going to finish 5. I got to get 5 finished. So y'all going to have to bear with me. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, that's 20, verse 20, witchcraft. I mean, see that witchcraft, I highlighted witchcraft. Let me deal with this real quick. That word witchcraft right there is the same word that we see in the Hebrew, also used of the magicians that threw their snakes on their staffs on the ground, and their staffs became serpents when Moses threw it, his on the ground, proving the hand of God, and Moses' staff was turned into a serpent. Well, the magicians, they threw theirs, and theirs turned into two snakes. What happened? Moses has devoured others. That is called witchcraft. It's where we get the word pharmakeia from. Remember I mentioned this last week? That word is pharmakeia. It's not highlighted. It's on mine highlighted because I highlighted it this morning, but I sent this to Philip a couple days ago. So it's not highlighted, and I can't do anything about it. How many see verse 20? Witchcraft? That's pharmakeia. It's where we get the word pharmacy from. It has to do with drugs. Okay? Everybody stay up with this. Drugs. Then in Revelations, if you read Revelations, it talked about the harlot that has the cup of wine, and she deceives the merchants to drink the wine. And go down to verse 23, and it says, because of her sorceries, same word, pharmakeia. So in three different areas, we have the magicians with their sorceries, did what they did. They have the same meaning from Hebrew, again, in the Septuagint, is the Greek version of the Old Testament, the word would be pharmakeia there. If you look at it in the Septuagint, pharmakeia. Then we get to Galatians here, and it says witchcraft, pharmakeia. And in Revelations 18:23, it'll be pharmakeia. They all mean the same thing. It has to do with the usage of drugs to put some people under spells or diminish their ability to think for themselves. They can't react, whatever that is. And that's where we get the word pharmacy from. And that drug, that whole drug scene, let me tell you, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And the more people we can have taking whatever it is, when it comes to these psychotic drugs or whatever it is that does it, is to put you under a spell so you're not thinking clearly for yourself. Happens all the time. People might need to be on nerve medicine. Got my nerves all, I got to go get something. You need the Holy Spirit is what you got to get. Because you get the Holy Spirit, and you walk after the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Remember that. It's a trick from the enemy. It's a way he can bring witchcraft and sorcery to your life. That's what he wants to do. He wants to seduce you in, and that's what she did. She had the cup of wine, and they were seduced with her fornication and her harlotry, and she made the merchants drink, and the scripture says they were all seduced, pharmakeia, by what she did. Very important for us to understand. And we ought to be praying. That's some of the things we prayed about this Thursday. I brought that to the people's attention. I said, we ought to be praying that God will break off this pharmakeia, this seduction that's happened, because that's what it is. If a person been told the truth and they know the truth and they're not responding to the truth, it's because they've been seduced. You're underneath some other trance, under a spell. Well, if we come against that demonic influence, because that's what it is, it's the demonic influence, and we break that off according to by the power of the name of Yeshua Messiah, we break it off, then the lights turn on. I heard many testimonies of people said, all of a sudden I'm going, all of a sudden a light turned on in my life, and I knew I needed to repent. That's what we want. We're expecting that. We're expecting lights to turn on people throughout this parish. We've been praying for them. The light will turn on in their mind. The seduction, this form of chaos will break off their life. They won't. But that's works of the flesh. If you're into the flesh, it's going to produce these works. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, pharmakeia, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, all of these things. Verse 21, envy and murder, drunkenness and reviling is the same thing. One's by yourself, the other's with a party. They mean the same thing. These revelries are just some drunken parties. Should I go to them? I don't know. Let me see. Let me see if I got a date clear to go to one. What is the point in it? You understand? And he tells us, this is what the flesh wants. It wants to go. Well, I just want to go. We know that. My flesh wants to go. Your flesh wants to go. The only reason I don't want to go now is because my flesh don't get a say in it. When he wants to, I go, shh. Not having that today. we're being led by the Spirit of God. Is this helping you? And such like, meaning there are more. There's others you can add, keep adding to them. I'm sure you can come up with some good ones. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, highlight it, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, period. How many want to inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? That's what we're here for. But you do those things, you won't inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. I hope that you see this, becomes real to you, and that it open up your understanding for what God has for us. Well, I'm going to stop there. I was trying to finish up, but I'm going to leave me some room to get to the rest of it. There's no way I can get it done today. We'll stop right there. That'll be a good spot for us to stop. And I'm praying that we can just absorb what was said today. How many of you see that walking in the Spirit is vital? It's vital to our life. It's something that we should make sure that we understand every day. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, is the flesh, when is the flesh lust? All the time. All the time. Now, every now and then, you're going to get a break. And you can get in what I call being a super spiritual Christian, where you feel like, man, nothing can touch me. I'm untouchable. Man, I got the Spirit. I mean, you walk in a church like that. You know, I mean, you got it. I mean, the song hits and you there. But I'm telling you, don't be fooled by that. Don't be fooled by, man, it's just been one thing after the other. Don't be fooled by that. That's the momentary time. The Scripture does give room that the enemy will leave you and you'll have these times. Take advantage of them. But never forget, you're still in the flesh. Never forget that. Humble yourself. That's the time to be humble. That's the time to go to the Lord and grow more, because the attack's coming. He'll attack you again. Why? We are at war. We're at war. That's why. It's a serious business. We're at war. And we want to make sure that we're good soldiers in the fight. And we fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Let's stand together.